Welcome to the Holistic Matters podcast. This is the series on medicinal herbs, and today we're talking about weight loss. Our host is Sarah LeBrun-Blaschka, and she is joined by naturopathic clinician Angela Highwood. Some people are very familiar with the struggle to lose weight in a healthy way, and medicinal herbs can help address the body's resistance to weight loss.
Our topic today is something that many of us think about. Many of us are thinking about, you know, this concerns of managing our weight and obesity, and how do I lose, you know, those pounds? How do I make that happen? We see in the U.S. that obesity has a prevalence of 30 to 40% based on what the data you're looking at, and then even more are overweight. And so this is really a challenge for many of us out there. And so today we're going to focus on this topic, and Angela Highwood, Australian naturopathic clinician, is going to help us really dive into the five top reasons that we see that people can't lose that bulge in some of their herbal support. And so let's dive in. Welcome, Angela. Great to have you again.
Thanks for having me. I'm really excited to talk about weight loss resistance today.
Why are some people just not able to lose those pounds? Is it the impact of stress, or is there other factors that we're thinking that are having this concern for many of us, especially women of a certain age, right? We seem to have even more challenges.
Absolutely. Look, this is a clinical conversation that I'm having with a patient literally every day of my clinical world, having a women's health focused practice. And as you said, generally, you know, women tend to have more of a struggle with weight loss than men for some reason. And I think that that's obviously tied into our female hormones a lot of the time. But look, men equally so can have issues with weight loss resistance. It's not mutually exclusive to women's health. But I always break it down to, you know, being the detective, the investigator, and really understanding the why it won't budge part of the question. So I generally start to clinically put my hat on and investigate five core areas. Now, in the modern world that we live in, stress is the number one factor that I'm looking for. I think none of us can deny that we all get stressed, and it takes a lot of time and work in our lives to, you know, be mindful, to do meditations, relaxations, exercise and eat well. But despite that, sometimes still stress can be a big factor for individuals. So understanding the stress hormone connection is critically important. So I do a lot of investigation with something called an adrenal stress panel, where we really understand cortisol rhythms and DHEA. So cortisol is your fight flight hormone, of course, and DHEA is your stress recovery hormone. So when you get true adrenal stress, which is this high cortisol pattern and this low DHEA, quite literally, our body will go into survival mode. And I joke with my patients and say, your body's going to throw you a life raft, okay? And that life raft is often an adipose accumulation or the spare tire around the tummy. So stress does have an impact. So it's really that the rogue high cortisol that can lead to that weight resistance accumulation. So cortisol craziness is something that we need to talk about, you know, first and foremost. And then we can talk about, you know, the roles of number two culprit is insulin. Number three is thyroid. Number four is our sex hormones, and that plays in for men and women. And then number five, we start to look at the role of inflammation as well. So they're my key five factors that I'm always investigating and looking for as really what part of that, or what accumulation of those factors, is the culprit.
So one of the things you just mentioned as these factors, we think about like sugar and carbs and how that has an effect, and insulin. So how can you address that type of factor, that craving of the sugars and that overloading of, you know, kind of carbohydrate rich diet?
Absolutely. And insulin resistance is such a devil, not even in disguise, it's just such a devil. Can be well tested out with some standard medical bloods, and the symptoms are fairly obvious, you know, constant cravings for sugar and, again, weight accumulation. I always say from shoulders to knees, sorry, on the trunk predominantly, that just won't shift. So sugar cravings and high insulin we need to target with, you know, a core botanical, and there's an incredible herb called gymnema. I commonly call it the sugar buster. Gymnema is a really interesting little plant. It's got a very novel application, which is a great sort of in-clinic demonstration. If you taste this liquid herb gymnema on the tongue, it anesthetizes the taste buds for sweet. So a couple of minutes after putting gymnema on the tongue, you could consume some sugar and it tastes nothing more than like beach sand. You can't detect any of the sweetness in it. But anyway, that's one of the novel applications of gymnema, but it has deep modification factors biochemically speaking. So gymnema is an insulin modulator. It resensitizes the insulin receptor sites on our cells, thereby helping to, you know, regulate insulin utilization and control. It's an incredible plant, and I love it because it has such a high safety profile as well. So you'll see the best results with using gymnema after several months of taking this herb, but it is a key player in insulin regulation, carbohydrate utilization, and for reduction of the sugar cravings. It's incredible. Then we also have a beautiful herb that I use a lot, and that's cinnamon. Cinnamon has a lot of great clinical research around its ability to down-regulate insulin resistance. And cinnamon of its own accord is also a lovely broad-spectrum sort of anti-inflammatory herb. It's an aromatic digestive at the same time. So, you know, commonly we know that this reduces sugar cravings, but does it from, again, this deep biochemical application of modulating insulin and blood glucose effectively. It's such a great herb. So they're the two that I really hone in for carb cravings, sugar cravings, insulin resistance. There's also a lot of, you know, research around the active constituent berberine, which comes from the plant philodendron predominantly. And there's, you know, phase three clinical trials showing that this is as effective as metformin for regulation of insulin resistance. So the botanical kingdom provides an incredible, you know, choice or selection of herbs that we can use there. And just as a really interesting little keynote back on gymnema, gymnema as a plant is very rich in chromium. So that's one of the actions it works by, is just giving the body back some chromium, one of the core minerals we need for glucose regulation.
Right. You know, those combinations of gymnema for kind of, you know, neutralizing the sweetness, but then also its, you know, ability to affect both the insulin production is interesting. And then with cinnamon and berberine, you know, I personally find, I talk a lot with individuals I know, kind of that pre-diabetic, the role of berberine and how it can really be effective, you know, with their outcomes. So really exciting herbal options here. So as we kind of go to the next idea of like kind of building on sugar, but thinking about metabolism and the role of the thyroid, what are the herbal opportunities here to kind of have that effect within this kind of overall change in weight management?
Absolutely. So one of the quick hacks that I always teach patients to really see whether their thyroid hormone metabolism is functioning well. And when I'm talking thyroid hormone metabolism, I'm talking about the action of T3, the active thyroid hormone, at the intracellular level. We need plenty of T3 inside the cell to activate the nucleus, but more so activate mitochondria. And when we're talking about, well, what is our metabolism and what helps regulate our basal metabolic rate, our ability to burn energy, it's really our mitochondrial capacity. So T3 is like the spark plugs for the mitochondria, really fire up the mitochondria to function well, to produce wonderful, you know, cellular energy, to produce our basal body heat. So one of the quick hacks is to actually do the Barnes basal temperature test, which is to take your temperature first thing in the morning at the body at rest temperature and see where the temperature is sitting. And this will give us a true indication. If our basal body temperature is sitting low, then that shows us we have potentially lower T3. Or if it's sitting normally, we know that our metabolism, our capacity to produce basal body heat, is pretty good. So I can't tell you how often, you know, charts come back and the basal body temperature is sitting way lower than what it should. And that says, aha, we found a culprit, and that's potentially low T3. We've got to remember blood testing for T3 is extracellular testing, what's found in the serum, not what's going on inside the cell. So I love the simple Barnes basal temperature test to tell us, you know, what's going on inside the cell relative to mitochondrial metabolism and T3. So if we really need to boost up thyroid hormones and really give our metabolism a fantastic reset and, you know, reboot, there's a couple of really specific herbs I love to prescribe. Now, the first one is an Ayurvedic herb, and it's called Coleus for scoli. Coleus has a number of clinical studies around weight loss itself, which is, you know, a wonderful thing. But really, it's the reason that it works for thyroid health and weight management and also high blood pressure is because it is its active constituent for scolin acts like a secondary messenger. So it amplifies the effect of hormones at the intracellular level, including thyroid hormones. So it's an incredible support for mitochondrial well-being and really getting that T3, you know, acting beautifully at that mitochondrial receptor site. So, and as I said, Coleus has got some nice studies just simply around its use in weight loss where there's been no calorie changes, and it helps to encourage, you know, mild weight loss in the absence of any other change. So when you combine it with, you know, diet, lifestyle, eating well, and exercise, then it's a winner. The other one that I really love for thyroid hormone metabolism and weight management is ashwagandha. So ashwagandha has clinical research to show that it not only reduces the impacts of high cortisol and stress, but also improves the conversion of T4 to T3. So it really boosts thyroid hormone conversion. The better the T3, the better the mitochondria, the better the mitochondria, the better the metabolism, the better then you are at burning excess calories in your body. And then I always couple these up with really supporting the liver. So 80% of the conversion of T4 to T3 in the body, so an integral part of thyroid hormone metabolism, is actually happening in phase two liver metabolism. So we need to upregulate liver detox, essentially, with herbs like rosemary, schisandra, and milk thistle, and making sure that we're popping in all those adjunctive amino acids that we require for ensuring that liver metabolism, particularly phase two, is working well. Because as I said, 80% of thyroid hormones are converted in phase two liver metabolism. So there are a couple of my clinical secrets about how I upregulate thyroid hormone metabolism for weight management.
We talked in the beginning about women, and obviously women tend to have a bit more thyroid issues, but then they also have other hormonal issues. And so what is really the hormones that are having this effect, especially as we move to our middle age and maybe are holding more weight? So can we dive into that just a little bit deeper?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, the, you know, who's the culprit here in the sex hormone mystery, right? Is it estrogen? Is it progesterone? You know, is it testosterone that's interfering with getting that weight to budge? So It's interesting that most of my patients, it's the perimenopausal phase of their life or postpartum after having a baby that the weight tends not to shift so much. Now, perimenopause is a bit like going on the wild mouse roller coaster at a fair. Your estrogen just dives up and down, up and down. And then as we're then ovulating with less, rigor and robust, then the progesterone starts to get lower and lower as well. So what you often have with perimenopause is overt estrogen dominance, elevated estrogen but low progesterone. And a woman's body doesn't like this hormonal state. And what will happen in that case is the adipose tissue will start to accumulate that excess estrogen and try and clear it from the bloodstream. That then triggers the adipose tissue to be in an inflamed state. And then you get this hormone-driven inflammation from the adipose cell itself. Now, we've got to remember that brown fat is actually like an endocrine gland in itself. It's very metabolically active in terms of the hormones and the inflammatory mediators that brown adipose tissue will pump out. So with sex hormones, particularly in that perimenopausal phase of life, estrogen dominance with a lower progesterone will be a big part of the problem. And then at this time, we then get the great quandary that the androgen levels start to drop, so DHEA starts to drop, and that's due to the element of adrenal stress and exhaustion usually sneaking into people's life at that point in time. And then you get the impacts of then high cortisol, and then that will further interfere with, any decent progesterone metabolism. So it becomes a mess quite quickly, to be honest with you. So we want to support these women. First and foremost, let's support estrogen metabolism. Let's try and reduce that overall net estrogen excess or estrogen dominance. And again, there's only really one way out. Like, the only way that we can metabolize excess estrogen and estrogen metabolites out of our body is through liver pathways. So again, we really want to make sure that we're really loving our phase two support. Rosemary, Shisandra, milk thistle, to name a few. And again, don't forget all the nutritional and amino acid cofactors to ensure that phase two is doing its job sufficiently. So whatever you can do to upregulate liver detox, liver metabolism when it comes to hormonal harmony is critical. Then at the same time, we can really support better progesterone metabolism with Vitex agnus castus, or the chaste tree berry, and its partner herb peony, or white peony. I love the combination of chaste tree and white peony for helping support ovarian production of sufficient progesterone. They're a great combination. Peony is also particularly good for irritability, anxiousness, premenstrual syndrome. So often when you have high estrogen, lower progesterone and inflammation, you're getting a lot of premenstrual syndrome sneaking in there as well. Okay, and then when it comes to weight management, we need to make sure women have good androgenic power, okay, because androgens will keep muscle growing and repairing and being supported, and bone density being supported, and also assist with then stress hormone recovery via that hormone DHEA. So my absolute favourite herb for supporting the androgens of women, particularly those who are trying to lose weight, and also for them to get more bang for buck out of their gym sessions as well, is the herb tribulus. Parallel to that is ashwagandha. They're both really wonderful androgen modulators. And the better women's androgens are, so the stronger they are in the perimenopause to menopause phase, the easier she will lose weight, the easier she will build bone density, the easier she will build muscle, and the fitter she will feel, body, mind and spirit. So I think the androgen part isn't really talked about enough for a lot of women, and you probably see that too.
Yeah, I think that is, you know, people don't have that strong a conversation about it. And, you know, with many women, I also reflect on the detox that you talked about. And we just spent a lot of time this weekend at a program. We're talking about detox and removal of, you know, toxins as a whole, but estrogen buildup that can become toxic. And I think a lot of times we don't focus enough on detox for individuals who are overweight, because it really does have an effect and it helps them to remove their weight quicker when they are properly detoxing too.
Oh, absolutely. It's such a critical part of what I call the symphony orchestra of healthy hormones. You know, the better the liver's functioning, you know, the better our body can clear excess hormones and inflammatory mediators, which makes for good health.
Right. So as we talk a bit about inflammation, as you brought that into the forefront, right? So we see that inflammation becomes rampant, right, in the overweight and obese individuals, and makes it difficult to lose weight. And also when those people have more adipose tissue on them, they become more inflamed. So what are some of the opportunities to really make a difference in those individuals who are suffering from inflammation tied to their weight issues?
Oh, this is such a fascinating area, and I can't help but be a bit obsessed about reading about inflammation, because it is the underpinning factor in the majority of all degenerative and lifestyle diseases. So weight gain is strongly associated with inflammation, and a 2019 study found that the key level of an inflammatory marker, which is known as C-reactive protein, increased as weight increased. So CRP we can easily test on, you know, a blood test. Inflammation appears to be triggered by, you know, hormonal and metabolic changes, and then remains there until the excess weight is lost. So, you know, we must lose weight to reduce inflammation. We must reduce inflammation to lose weight. They are absolutely hand in hand. And as I mentioned, you know, there's a plethora of studies to show inflammation is the common underlying factor in almost all major degenerative diseases, heart disease, cancer, hypertension, diabetes, and metabolic disease like insulin resistance and cardiometabolic disease and weight loss resistance here too. You know, the good news is that the inflammation is often linked to diet and lifestyle factors. So if we're really committed to making some, you know, great diet and lifestyle change, even without adding the level of herbs and nutritionals in, we can, you know, make huge inroads into reducing the inflammation and reducing risks of degenerative disease and shed the weight. It's really important that we, you know, first and foremost say, okay, what we are what we eat and we are what we think. So we need to think positively, we need to exercise, we need to get onto the right type of diet for us. And I truly believe there is no cookie cutter approach. There's no one diet fits all. But all the sort of studies point to a Mediterranean approach to diet being one of the best for insulin resistance, inflammation, and weight loss resistance as well. So just eating healthy, plenty of plants, you know, some lovely protein, lots of fish as a source of protein. Legumes are fantastic. They also nourish the microbiome, and then really backing down on carbohydrates. So the way that inflammation causes weight gain is multifactorial. When we gain weight, we get immunological alarm messages, and then cytokine inflammatory mediators are interleukin 6 and 8, tumor necrosis factor alpha, and insulin growth-like factor are all triggered by the body. And these pro-inflammatory cytokines then further interfere with the body's insulin response and the insulin receptor sites and damage them. So, and then when the body becomes an insulin resistant, the pancreas then has to release more insulin, which can then trigger more inflammation. So it's a merry-go-round of an effect. Inflammation also dramatically interferes with our body's response to leptin, the hormone that tells our brain that we've actually had enough to eat. So when we've got inflammation, we get leptin suppressin. So we get, you know, this insatiable appetite. We're hungry all the time, looking for food all the time, particularly looking for sugars. So, you know, isn't that a devilish interference in the body? So if the brain doesn't receive enough leptin, then people eat more calories than necessary. And resistance to leptin is now thought to be a really major driver in weight gain in the human population. So how do we then resensitize our brain to leptin? We reduce inflammation. So we have so many amazing, powerful immune modulators from the plant or the food or the botanical kingdom. I think the king of them all is turmeric. There is bundles of clinical research and evidence around the impact and power of turmeric, so much so that I see it prescribed by the medical fraternity absolutely every day now, which is a good thing. You know, they're turning on to the fact that a herb's, you know, a powerful disease preventative agent. Then we have other anti-inflammatories like boswellia that play a huge role. Saffron, humble little nettle leaf is a very powerful anti-inflammatory and can be drunk as a tea every day. We've got grapeseed extract, we've got rosemary, and there's a whole new category of botanicals classed as NRF2 regulators, which is really now the new scientific, you know, buzz term for anti-inflammatory and antioxidant. But failing the complexities, you can never go wrong by prescribing turmeric. Turmeric is one of the most broad-spectrum anti-inflammatories, but particularly for C-reactive protein in the body. So we need to, you know, ensure patients are playing their role in really modulating their diet and reduce inflammation. It's such a powerful way to help weight loss resistant patients.
You know, it's so interesting, the study on inflammation and really even in the relationship with people who are overweight. You know, there's data showing that out of Spain, showing that individuals who have, you know, who are obese do not resolve inflammation, right? And so that combination of an omega-3 and turmeric are so powerful to really support those individuals as they lose weight to make sure that they are bringing their inflammation under control.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Inflammation is really key. You know, I always say, gosh, if there was one, if I was told I was only ever allowed to take one herb again for the rest of my life.
Well, that just sounds like torture, right? Just one herb for the rest of your life, but let's hear it.
That is my version of torture. I would be really hard pressed to choose between either tribulus or turmeric. Because I think those two herbs give powerful longevity, health and well-being applications. But I think I would have to choose turmeric because it has, I think, far more broad preventative medicine action in the body. It's such a beautiful plant.
So this has been a really stimulating conversation in regards to how we support our patients through this journey of weight loss and what are some of those key herbs and other triggers to help them get there. Any last thoughts that you want to leave us with, Angela, as we kind of move, you know, through this discussion and really have that opportunity just maybe to summarize, you know, what we are looking at when we're helping our patients?
Okay, so my last sort of closing thoughts is managing weight loss resistance does not need to be complicated. It's simply about finding the right support for that individual and really understanding their biochemistry and their drivers from multiple angles. I think it's really important not to forget to test and investigate and find the unique drivers for that unique individual you have in front of you. So just as a sort of a parting, I guess, clinical little tool, let's investigate things in the right way. Let's look at cortisol and investigate the adrenal health. And I really love either dried hormone analytes or saliva or urine testing for that. It gives a lot more accuracy than blood testing. So an adrenal stress index panel would be extremely useful. We need to investigate insulin. So we want ideally a two-hour glucose tolerance test with insulin and glucose ordered. And also we want to have a look at glycosylated hemoglobin to ensure that they're actually not heading into diabetes. Mm-hmm. We want to check their thyroid, and blood is perfectly sufficient to look at thyroid. So we want to look at thyroid stimulating hormone, free T4, free T3, thyroid antibodies, reverse T3. We need actually a really full thyroid panel to often you'll see TSH might look fine, T4 might look fine, T3 might sit really low end. But if they're very stressed, you might see really elevated reverse T3, and then that's, you know, like a massive finding, because reverse T3 is biologically inactive. It's certainly not going to help them at all. So their cells and their mitochondria are actually screaming out for the very hormone they need to be their spark plug and turn them on. And then reproductive hormones need to be tested. So all of your estrogen, progesterone, LH, FSH, all the androgens, they all need to be fully investigated. My favourite test at the moment to do that's called a Dutch Hormone Complete, which gives you then also the stress hormones and all the sleep health like melatonin, etc. So it's an absolutely fantastic investigation for weight loss resistant patients. And then last but not least, do a full blood test panel for inflammatory cytokines. Because as you can see, if we can't break the inflammation, then it's going to be really hard for that patient to lose weight successfully and permanently. And my very last parting comment is I'm not the least bit interested in rapid weight loss for patients. I'm only interested in manageable, sustained weight loss that's going to be their forever solution. No fad diets, you know, no fad fast weight loss programs. We really need to help patients find their forever solution, which also includes their forever diet, the diet that works best for them biologically and helps them feel fantastic.
Right. I think, you know, you have to be that investigator, right, to find what is that trigger and then help your patients to get to a point where they're going to live their lives and it's not just that quick weight loss that you can't sustain. You have to have, you know, their whole life in front of them, not just that moment of, you know, fast weight loss.
Absolutely. And the mindset around it needs to be very much not one of, you know, low calories and deprivation, because that is just, it's a really negative mindset, the mindset of deprivation. It's got to be a mindset of abundance. You know, they can eat as many plants as they want and nuts and seeds and, you know, legumes and beautiful healthy protein. So it's about getting it right and then really looking forward to learning to prepare food and enjoy a beautiful meal and enjoy getting some exercise in the beautiful world that we live in.
Right. Well, with that, thank you so much as always for a great conversation, and we will talk to you again soon. Thanks, Angela.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you to Sarah and Angela for a great episode. Just to recap, in this episode, we talked about five core areas linked to weight loss. Why women often struggle more than men to lose weight, and the role of hormones in that struggle, sugar cravings, thyroid metabolism, inflammation, and a handful of herbs that support the body in achieving a healthy weight in multiple ways. To learn more about healthy metabolism and more on medicinal herbs, visit holisticmatters.com. That's holistic with a W.